Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. My name is Ray Serebrin, and I am the host of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party radio program on KPTZ in Port Townsend. The following is one of our story time segments that we present each week. I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, you're just in time for a story.
When the sky is dark and the moon aglow and the morning star burning from afar enters into view, all that I can say, all that I can know is that I'll be dreaming pieces of you.
Yes, that's our theme song for a story time here on the Midlife Crisis Dance Party, a weekly exploration of stories. This week's story is called The Day I Met Myself. And it is a story from my deep and nefarious past. His name was Robert Olin Butler, and he was 2 years off winning the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. The year was 1995. His Pulitzer Prize winning book was called Good Scent from a Strange Mountain. It was Olin Butler's first short story collection, and he must have been riding a great big high. I can't imagine what it must be like to win the Pulitzer Prize for your first foray into short story writing, but it must have felt pretty damn good. Robert Olin Butler, the author, was born in 1945 in Granite City, Illinois. He attended Northwestern University and then served as a counterintelligence special agent in Vietnam. In the years following his tour of duty in Vietnam, he worked and edited trade publications, and he started writing fiction. Robert Olin Butler has written 16 novels and 6 collections of short stories. He has written a book of stories about what people who are decapitated think about after they are separated from their heads. And he has written a book revealing the inner monologues of couples engaged in sexual intercourse. He also writes screenplays and he narrates audiobooks. He has won awards and fellowships. He holds a distinguished chair of literature at Florida State University. He has married and divorced 5 beautiful women. He is famous and probably rich. I met Robert Olin Butler in that year in 1995. I was in charge of the Seattle Public Library department that booked authors and other speakers to entertain and enlighten our patrons. We presented lots of author talks in our 200-seat auditorium, and they were quite popular, but we had never hosted a Pulitzer Prize winner, so it was quite a big deal for us. Hiring and publicizing and meeting and greeting authors used to be my job, but I'd been promoted to a higher level of incompetency, and I was now the department's boss. So as my staff got the program ready, I was doing other things. The auditorium was pretty much filled up when I entered it. And I came in, and I looked around for the great man. I looked around for our author. And I looked across the room, and instead, I saw myself. Yes, I looked across the room, and on the other side of it, I saw myself with a beautiful blonde woman on my arm. This guy, the great prize-winning author, was the spitting image of me. And I was floored, and I was surprised, and it was truly like seeing myself in another body, and it was very, very weird. I went over to shake his hand and to thank him for coming, and I felt like I was in a dream. The moment he looked into my face, he clearly had the same moment of recognition with me. I said, thanks for coming, and I met his then-wife, poet Elizabeth Dewberry, But the whole thing was a surreal experience. I'm shaking hands with myself. I'm meeting my alternate wife. I'm thanking myself for being where I already am. Neither of us mentioned the elephant in the room that we were cosmic twins. Later, I did some research, and I found out that in most cultures throughout history, when you meet your doppelganger, your living double, it can mean only one thing. Bad luck is coming your way. A doppelganger is seen as a malevolent twin or even a paranormal entity who brings portents of evil into your life. At the time, I didn't see it as a harbinger of evil, however, though for a brief moment, a sinister plot did occur to me in which we would slip into each other's lives without anyone noticing, like in the Mark Twain book, The Prince and the Pauper. Perhaps that is what we could have discussed when I shook his hand, had I been less stunned by our identical looks. I could have said, "Hey, do you want to switch lives? Yeah, if you want a break from being a famous author with a stable of beautiful wives, meet me after the show. You can see how the little people live. And for a brief while, I can have adoring fans who are hanging on my every word. Then you can write a book about it, and when I get old, I can reminisce about my 15 minutes of fame." Then again, it would only have profited me to slip into his skin, not he into mine. He was a famous writer, and I was an anonymous middle manager at a library. He had won multiple national awards, and I had won only a plastic microphone trophy on which they had misspelled my name. He was a prominent published fiction author, and I had only published some obscure articles in library journals. So there would be apparently no benefit to him to assume my life, but much to be gained for me to assume his. Or so it seemed at the time. That's what it seemed like at the time. Now, I rethought that premise in the year 2007 when the poop hit the fan for Robert Olin Butler. In 2007, his wife, Elizabeth Dewberry, the one that I met, left him. Now, if he was me at that time instead of himself, he could have still been married to one beautiful woman. His whole life he could have had that. And while I live a quiet life away from the spotlight, he at the time got some nasty publicity that colors his reputation to this day. That's because his split with Elizabeth Dewberry was quite public. She left him, she left Robert Olin Butler, to become one of billionaire Ted Turner's many girlfriends. Apparently at the time, Turner had some sort of Hugh Hefner-like arrangement with four women who shared him. Each got 1 week of the Tedster each month, and she left to become one of his four paramours. So that wouldn't feel very good if your wife left you to become one of four mistresses of this rich guy. I guess some men are just too rich for one woman. Butler, foolishly believing that it would never be made public, decided to send an email to many of his friends and colleagues giving intimate details about his soon-to-be ex-wife's life. It details the facts that Dewberry had been sexually abused by her grandfather and that the abuse was tacitly condoned by her radically evangelical Christian parents. He also described how she nearly died from an intestinal blockage in Argentina while on a trip with Turner, and that this uncomfortable experience with her bowels led her to leave him for the media mogul, he writes, because, quote, "it is very common for a woman to be drawn to men who remind them of their childhood abusers." So it was not a kind message, and the email, which was of course leaked, served to sully everyone's reputation. In the end, there was probably a moral to this story about not wanting to be other than who you are, because if you were someone else, your dirty laundry and your wife's intestinal problems will probably be splashed all over the World Wide Web. Anyway, that is my story of my encounter with my doppelganger, a very handsome, but ultimately a very dissatisfied man. I'm glad I'm me. To this day, I am glad I'm me. I'm Ray Serebrin, and that was Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. We invite you to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. for more frivolity, absurdity, and melody. Thanks so much for listening.